Our scripture today is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Just at daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No," and he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they were gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish in it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and he took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt, and you used to go wherever you wished. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to Peter, "Follow me."
Amen. Thank our sister in Christ for sharing the words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you, and we are grateful to be gathered, but more so to know that you're speaking directly to us. Your love is directly for us. Help us to understand that, to embrace it, to be changed by it, and to live it. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. A question for you, each and every one of you. Are you good or are you lousy at telling a story? Do you forget important chunks of the story? And then later on, oh, there was another part. I forgot. This is really important too. Sorry. The scripture passage today kind of has that feel. Not only is it important, it's essential to our faith and to how God speaks into our lives and how God asks us to allow Him to speak through us. It's important, but it's kind of that, oh yeah, there's another part to this story. What's it say at the end of chapter 20? Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in His name. The end. No, not the end. There's always more. With God and living in God's kingdom, there is always more. This is a word of hope for those who feel like they are at their wit's end, at the end of the rope, clinging on by their fingernails. There is always more in kingdom living because God is a God of endless love and grace and healing and power. That, my friends, is a truth that we hold on to today. Now, certainly, there have been extraordinary things that have been happening that have been recollected in this gospel, haven't there? We've talked about them, in fact. We have the crucifixion of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and then the great news, the resurrection of Jesus. Hope. More to the story, you see? God always has more. God is always seeking to bless us in deeper, more profound, and life-changing and sustaining ways. Jesus appears to Mary, and then to the disciples. And then Jesus has that interaction with Thomas. That's a lot, just right there. That's powerful. That's awesome. And yet there's even better news ahead. Has anyone ever had fish for breakfast? On charcoal in the Holy Land? No, I'm not gonna stretch it. So, okay. You know, they didn't have Egg McMuffins at that time. They didn't have sausage and gravy, you know, all those kinds of things. And what they had was what God provided for them. That's the key. God provides. There are stories in the Bible, and I've mentioned this before, that we are very familiar with. And we start jumping ahead to what we think is the key point. And yet I think one of the key points that we kind of gloss over in this story is that God sustained them, fed them. They needed that. And God knows what His children, what His people need more than even they do. And God provides that. Certainly there are times in all of our lives when we have missed how God has provided for us. Because maybe we've been looking for another thing. We've been looking for this. And God has provided what we really needed here. And God has sought to sustain us and keep us alive, not only keep us alive, but help us to be able to experience His love, and yet we were looking in another direction. And so maybe sometimes we even missed God right in front of us. Can you think back in your life and think about a time when you missed God right in front of you? Didn't necessarily recognize God working right there in your life? It's not anything to beat yourself up about, but rather, something to be excited about. It's proof that God never stops working. And it's proof that God is going to provide for us what we need. Maybe not what we want, but what we need nonetheless. Scripture passage is vivid in the descriptions here. The disciples, after all the things that were going on, after all the things that took place, of all things they decided to do was go fishing. Now, people have had questions about this. Why in the world would they want to go fishing? What did they know? What was at the very core of their being? Fishing. What had they done for most of their life? Fishing. What was it that they really knew? Fishing. You know, sometimes whenever God works in our lives, and it can be big also, sometimes we go back to what we know because we're not even sure how to handle God and what He's done for us and in our journey. Sometimes we even fall back into patterns that maybe not necessarily the healthiest thing for us or for those around us. And yet if it's what we know, then there's kind of a comfort zone there, isn't there? We fall back into that. I think the disciples were kind of falling back into a comfort zone. But let's face it also, they needed to eat. They had some basic needs, and so they fell into something that they'd done again and again and again. And falling back into that familiar pattern, that comfort zone, they missed Jesus in their midst, didn't they? They didn't recognize Him. They weren't sure who He was. Our Christian walk, our new life, through Jesus. That way of understanding that God's grace is at work in us requires and challenges us to change eventually. I'm never going to harass anyone or say to someone, you need to get right with God because I've found that that's like me talking to this table. It's going to have the same effect. None. That's not even my job. As a Christian, as a follower of Christ, my call, rather, is to point others towards God and to be attuned with God in my own journey. I'm not talking about as a pastor. I'm talking about as a Christian, as a brother in Christ, somebody that is with each and every one of you on the same journey of faith. We might be at different places, all of us here, not me and you, but each and every one of us here, and we're at different places on that journey, no question about it. And some of us have decided to go fishing. And we put up that sign on our hearts. And God comes knocking at the heart and it says, gone fishing. And God has to get our attention then. And God has to speak to us and say, there's more that I have for you. There's so much more. Living kingdom living is something that enables us to experience joy and love and peace and healing. It doesn't want us to just stay in the same place. The disciples, we're going to be reminded of that in the scripture passage today. There's a couple different responses. isn't there, whenever Jesus is bringing them out of their comfort zone? Who starts jumping out of the boat? Peter! Okay, Lord, pick me. Yeah, I got it now, Lord. Well, he really didn't, but that's okay. God's still going to use that exuberance, and God's going to still use those people that run into it and that step forward and have that energy and enthusiasm. God's going to use those folks. But what about the beloved disciple, the one who was just kind of chilling? You know what I'm talking about whenever I say chilling? You ever been chilling? Do I look like I'm chilling right now? Or do I look like my back was thrown out and I'm just kind of leaning? Not sure. You're just kind of relaxing, you know, and taking things in. To be able to discern, to be able to really look and listen and ponder as well. That's necessary for discipleship as well, okay? Both things are necessary. Sometimes we need to be in prayer. In fact, do we need to be in prayer every day? Do we need to be in prayer at various times throughout the day? Yeah, absolutely. So we have that discernment. And then there are other times whenever we do need to jump out of the boat and respond to Jesus. And then there's an extraordinary dialogue that takes place with the one who jumped out of the boat, but also the one who denied Jesus earlier on. Extraordinary, and one that continues to speak into my heart in a very poignant way. There's something very intimate about these words, isn't there? And it's very clear, it's very pointed, the question. Peter, do you love me? Very clear. No doubt but what Jesus is asking. Put in your own name. Fill in the blank with your name. Jesus asking you, do you love me? Jesus continues and says, these are the things that I'd like you to do. These are the ways that I'd like you to share that love. Certainly, it's wonderful to say, I love Jesus. And it's wonderful to know that Jesus loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. But more so, we experience it in each other. We experience it in intimacy with God. We also experience it in those times of discerning and just saying, Lord, how are you at work in my life? And God works, and we know that we're loved once again. But we also have to share it. We have to be witness to God's love out in the world. Peter gets a little bit frustrated because maybe he thinks that Jesus doesn't hear him. Maybe he thinks that Jesus has selective hearing. Have you ever had to deal with somebody with selective hearing? I'll take that as a yes. It's like, Jesus, I'm already, listen, come on. But this is more than Jesus just simply asking questions. Peter denied Jesus three times. And how many times does Jesus ask Peter if he loves him? So in other words, he's saying to Peter, I'm going to use you again. This is your recommissioning. Does that mean that there's always hope? Yes, it does. Even for one who denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. For each of us, even in those times when we look away from Jesus, when we deny Him, we're not sure what our answer to that question, do you love me, is. Jesus continues to approach us and say, I want to use you. I want to work through you. Believe it. This morning, what is your answer to that question from Jesus? Do you love me? You are loved abundantly. What we've been talking about in this grand, phenomenal story that has changed all of history, all of humankind, and the world, we are reminded just how much God loves us. But what is your answer to Jesus now? Do you love Him? Take this time now to be in prayer with God, to reflect on that question.